It's a good day. Any day you're above dirt, you got breath in your lungs, and you know what? God's got a purpose for you. And it doesn't help, or it doesn't hurt. It does help. It doesn't hurt that we got to have some time of food and fellowship right before the service tonight. It was a good time. But you know, I want to bring a word to you. And last week we looked at Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. We talked about endurance, having endurance in the face of what? Adversity. Because our goal here at the church is to what? To impact the world around us, to be a light into a dark world. But the minute you set your mind to that, you got to realize that the devil is not going to give up our city without a fight. The devil's not going to just hand over Paris to us. He's going to put up a little bit of a fight. He's going to throw stuff in your way. But God calls us in Romans chapter 5, verse 3. He says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. See, that's what we talked about last week, was endurance. Going forward when all hell's breaking loose. Right? That's why it says in John 16:33, it says, to take heart because I have what? Overcome the world. See, when we have endurance, Jesus promises us that you're going to face stuff, but take heart. I'm with you. No matter what you face, I am with you through the end. See, that's the awesome promise that we have. But going back to Romans 5:3, it says, we can rejoice when we run into problems because we know that it helps us develop endurance. But let's look at the next verse, verse 4. It says, and endurance develops what? Strength of character. So all this enduring that we're doing, it's for a purpose. It's for an end. All the trials and all the troubles are not worthless. They're for a purpose. And that purpose is to develop what? Strength of character. And then character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead us to disappointment. So I want to look at the next step. You know, we've talked about endurance. Where's our endurance going? To develop strength of character. That's what we're talking about tonight, is strength of character. Because as you keep pushing forward and relying more on God and seeking His ways, you begin to develop strength of character. And character in this context means being Christ-like. That's what it's talking about. It's being Christ-like, having the character of Christ. That's why in John 3:30 it says, He must increase, but I must decrease. See, if we're going to be Christ-like, it's got to stop being about what I want, what I think, but instead what God thinks, what God wants. You see, as you begin to pull yourself back and to begin to really think about how can I be Christ-like, you begin to pull yourself because you realize, I got to get out of my own way. If God's going to use me to accomplish what He wants, I have to get out of my own way. I have to stop being the reason God can't work. See, so many times we get in our own way. We cause our own problems. Because, as the saying goes, everything happens for a reason. But sometimes that reason is you're stupid and you make bad decisions. Get that. Sometimes the reason that we go through some of these things that we keep having to repeat is because we're stupid and we make bad decisions. But God's telling us, have a strength of character. Be more Christ-like. When you're Christ-like and your focus is that of Christ, you get out of your way. You can see the thing that God wants. And those things begin to happen. Because see, it's about putting on the character of Christ. In Galatians 3:27, it says this. If you're following along on the screen. It says, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on the character of Christ, like putting on new clothes. Get that? It's about part of being Christ-like is putting on the character of Christ like new clothes. It's taking off your old dirty rags, all of what you used to be, and putting on something better. See, that's the promise of God. If you want to take off your dirty, spaghetti-stained t-shirt and put on a spotless garment, put on something without blemish, that's what being Christ-like is about. See, in Romans 13, starting in verse 11, follow if you're following along, it says, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. See, they're talking to the group and they say, all of these things are more urgent because the time is late. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Get that. Our salvation is nearer now, today, than it was yesterday. A year ago, 5 years ago. Salvation is coming. The end is here. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to act in return? See, in verse Romans 13, 12, it says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. Remove your dark deeds. Get that. See, it's saying, remove your dark deeds. Remove your sin. Remove the junk in your life. Pull that off. Remove your former sins, your secret sins, the things you do when nobody's watching. Because see, these are all barriers between us and God. And these dark deeds can be anything. What it's talking about, the dark deeds there, is anything that separates you from God. Whether it be drugs, whether it be alcohol, whether it be laziness, whether it be a person, an object, something that you place ahead of God is saying, remove those things. Because you can't be Christ-like if you're carrying that crap with you. Okay? Get that. So it says, remove your dark deeds and instead what? Put on the shining armor of right living. Saying, put on the light of God. See, that's why it says, in Matthew, we're a city on a hill. We're a light in the darkness. It's saying, take all the dark out, put on the light so you can shine out to other people. That's what being Christ-like is about. Get that. Verse 13, it goes on to say, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. In the King James, it says, to walk honestly. It says, to walk honestly. Honestly, walk your walk with honesty. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, and your God be your God. That's what it says, to walk honestly, to put yourself forward. Walk in a holy manner. Because, verse 13, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. I'm not saying this. This is the Bible, okay? Don't participate in the drunkenness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling and jealousy. Saying, stay away from these things. These things that it's listing, it's saying, control yourself. Control how you respond to other people. Because the first things are all about you. The last two things are all about other people. When it talks about don't get drunk. Don't be promiscuous. Don't live immoral lives. That's all about you. Control yourself. Control yourself. But then, the last two, or quarreling or jealousy. It's how you respond to other people. That's the second part of being Christ-like. You control yourself and you control your response to other people. Because you know what? You can't control them, but you can control how you act in response. That's what being Christ-like is about. Verse 14, Romans 13, 14, it says this, instead of these things, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Okay, break that down. Clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus. What it's saying there is to being clothed with a person in the Greek means it's a phrase signifying to take on one's interest of another. Take on another person's interest. To enter into their views. To be wholly on their side. Imitating them in all things. See, it's telling us to clothe ourselves with Christ. That means take on his nature. Take on his view of people. Take on his view of life. Be wholly on his side. Stop playing games. Stop playing games with God. Be wholly on his side or get out. Be wholly with God or go home. See, that's what it's about to be Christ-like. To show up, suit up, show up, even when you don't feel like it. And say, I'm going to praise God anyway. I don't care what happened earlier. I've got young kids, right? When do they lose their mind the most? Sunday morning, right before we got to come to church. Every week like clockwork, they lose their ever-loving mind, Mama Brenda. Like, I've seen it. They'll look at each other. They get this weird look in their eye, and you can literally see their brain fall out the back of their head. Literally. But see, it's about suiting up and showing up no matter how much they act up. No matter what you've been through, no matter how sick you feel. Because there's days I don't feel good, but I'm right here. I remember growing up, my mama used to do this to us all the time. When I talk about suiting up and showing up, that was her one of her mottos. But she didn't use those exact words, but anytime we got sick, she'd say, okay, you don't feel good? Go in the bathroom and puke and show me that you're sick. So I muster it up. I go in there and puke. Don't you feel better? Let's go to church. Lord. And then if that didn't work, like, oh, Mama, I can't puke, but it hurts all over. Okay, let's go get you prayed for. Get in the car. We're going to church. See, it's showing up. And see, that's part of being Christ-like. Because my mama did that to me when I was this tall, I'm this tall. And I'm serving God. And see, I'm going to flip that. My babies are this tall. When they get my age, they're going to be serving God. They're going to, what? Suit up, show up. They're going to be here and be Christ-like. They don't know it yet, but it's going to happen. Whew. But see, that's the thing. And the second part there is stop giving in to your evil desires. Stop giving in. See, when you're all alone and you're laying in your bed and you start thinking about stuff, stop it if it ain't about Jesus. You're all alone and you start thinking ill about somebody, stop it and pray for them. Love them. Stop giving in to our evil desires, because as you begin to feed that evil, you begin to give birth to that into your life. See, that's the thing. One little thought was, oh, it's not that bad. I just don't like so-and-so. But you begin to feed that and nurture it, and it begins to come out in your life. And it begins to show up when you're interacting with those people, right? Because you can fake it, but you can't fake it forever. Whew. So So stop indulging your evil desires. Because the heart of man is evil unless you work at it. Unless you work towards something better. And see, as we begin to develop that character, as we become more Christ-like, our life begins to produce fruit. It begins to produce good things. It begins to produce God things. See, in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, those verses, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the more Christ-like we become, we can have love when people hate us. We can have joy when there's pain. We can have peace in a world of chaos. We can have patience when your kids are acting up or people ain't doing right. You can have patience with them. You can return kindness and goodness for ugly. You can be faithful when others are unfaithful. You can be gentle, and ultimately you can have self-control. See, when you're Christ-like, the more of Christ that you get into you, the more and more these things are going to come out. Those things, instead of ugliness, instead of chaos, instead of hatred and unfaithfulness, these things will begin to take fruit in your life. And everybody will be able to see there's something different. There's something different about them. And I want that. You see, that's the rest of being Christ-like. It's as if you begin to shine that light out, you become a light in a dark world. You can give hope to the hopeless. Peace to the restless. The more and more of Christ you put into your life. Man. Amen. So the question is, how do we get there? See, it's great for me to sit up here and be Christ-like, be Christ-like. How do we get there? How do we get from where we're at to where we want to be? The first thing we got to do is check our hearts and clean our cups. See, Matthew 23 and verse 25 says this. Matthew 23 and 25. Jesus is talking here and he says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees. So he's talking to the church people. And he says, hypocrites. This is the church people he's talking to. For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean also. See, if you want to be Christ-like, we've got our cup. You can clean the outside all day long, but if you never clean the inside, the innermost parts, it's still a dirty cup. See, I can't be Christ-like with a dirty cup. That's the first piece. How am I going to be Christ-like? Clean my cup. Because it's easy to fake it in church. It's easy to bring your cup into church, wash the outside of it, say, look, my cup is pretty, it's blue, and everyone should love it, right? If you don't love it, that's a sin. No, I'm just kidding. But see, it's easy. It's easy to come in and clean my outside. You know how I know? I've done it. I've done it for years. Not just weeks or days. I literally, if I'm honest with myself, I did it for years of my life. I could come in, I could tell you exactly when to raise my hands, which different hand raise. You know, you get the goal, the double hand raise. You get the real spiritual, hand on the heart, one hand up, See? I know all the tricks. Because I faked it for years. For years I showed up and I could come down to the altar and I could say, oh, Jesus, I love you, for everybody else to see. But I never once reached in and cleaned the inside of the cup. But see, if we want to be Christ-like, we got to get the crap out of our lives. The secret little things. The stuff we don't tell folks. Because see, part of developing the character of Christ is living it when no one else is around. Living it when you're all by yourself or you're at home with your family. It's cleaning the inside of the cup. Because if all you do is clean the outside, you're still dirty. God can't use you in that state. He can use you. He's got a plan. But those things become a barrier to being all you can be in Christ. And see, as we begin to check our heart and clean the inside of that cup, that leads us into the next part of stop making excuses. See, people love excuses. People love excuses on why they can't do something. Well, I can't do this because of such and such. I'm scared to get up in front of people. Jesus wants me to come up here and sing, but I'm too scared. Stop making excuses. Or Jesus wants me to bless this person. I feel the tug, but I can't because I just can't. I just don't feel good. I just don't feel right about it. Stop making excuses. People love justification for actions. I did this because they did this to me. And my boys are kings of this. If you spend any time at our house, you'll hear a crash and a boom and a bang. And you go, what are you doing? Well, he did this. And they're all pointing at each other, right? Ever seen that? You got kids, you've been through that. See, the greatest one is when you start making excuses for things that didn't happen yet. Because you know you're going to act up. So you're making pre-excuses. That's really evil. Okay? I love Colton. He is my spitting image, right? A couple Saturdays ago, it's me and him hanging out at the house. He's in the other room. And I hear him give off the most God-awful wail, right? So I go in there and he goes, what are you doing? What's going on? And crying. He had tears and everything. He goes, Carson hit me. And I had to look him dead in his eye and say, Carson's at karate practice. And he goes, he is? And I said, yes, son, he is. Dried it up right then. See, he's making pre-excuses. He knew he wanted to ruffle something up, get somebody stirred up. So he's making a pre-excuse. Be like, oh, he did it, he did it. He ain't even here. Now, that's funny for a 4-year-old, but how many 30-year-olds be acting that way? Ooh. Ooh, I better step back. I'm gonna step on some toes on that one. Woo. See, preaching real life. It's real life. See, we got to stop making excuses. In Ephesians 5:6, it says this. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, all these things. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. So stop making excuses, because it just makes God angry. And when he's angry, it's like the Hulk. You don't want to see God angry. You don't want to see me angry. You don't want to see God angry. So stop making excuses. Because all an excuse is a lie to yourself. And lying to yourself is still a sin. See, so many times we make excuses. We say, I did this because. I did that because of what they did. You can't control other people, but you can control yourself. Stop letting other people dictate who you are in Christ. Find it for yourself. And see, as you begin to stop making excuses, this then leads into letting some things go. Like Elsa from Frozen. Let it go, let it go. That's the only part of the song I know. But, see, sometimes we got to let some things go. We got to let some people go. We got to let some things go. If we're going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be all who we can be in Christ, sometimes you got to let some people go. You got to let some things go. Because in Hebrews 12, 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. See, Hebrews 11 was an entire chapter of all these people of faith accomplishing great things because of Christ, because of their love for God. And then it says in Hebrews 12, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us, what? Strip off every weight that slows us down. We got to strip some things off. If we're going to be Christ-like, there's some people, places, things, some hurts that we got to give up. Because if your hands are clenched, holding on to those things, they won't be open to receive Christ and the blessings that he has. See, if you're holding on to all these old things, you can't grab a hold of God. Get that. It's letting some things go. Saying, but you don't know what they did. You don't know how they treated me. I don't. But God does. And he promises us, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I was with you at the start, and I'll be with you at the end. Thank you, God. See, it doesn't matter what somebody did to you, how they treated you. Let it go. And grab God instead of hurt. Instead of pain. Because then that, as we begin to clean the inside of our cup, we stop making excuses, and we begin to let things go, that leads us to our final goal. And to the final step of replace the junk. Replace all that stuff you're leaving behind. Replace those things with something better. Something that'll last. Replace those things with God. See, Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might what? Not sin against you. See, when you begin to put the word into your heart, more than just on a Sunday, more than just on a Wednesday, you begin to hide those words in your heart, you become more Christ-like. And in Luke 6:45, we sum all of that up to say this, Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The more you begin to put into your heart of Christ, and you begin to pull that junk out of your life, the only thing that can result is Christ. The only thing that can come out of a life lived for Christ that's full of Christ is more Christ, is more blessings, more love, more goodness, more faithfulness. See, when you begin to put all of that in you, that's the only thing that can come out instead of all the crap we deal with now. Get that. We face too much stuff because we do it to ourselves. Because we say, I can do it. But to truly be Christ-like and say, I can't do it on my own. Only God, through me, can I get there. And see, that's the challenge tonight. Is as we begin to run our race and to run after the things of Christ, help us to be more Christ-like. Now, really, if I'm honest with myself, I could be more Christ-like. I could strive to be better. Now, for those sitting out there, think of your life. Are you where you need to be with Christ? Are you all that you can be in Christ? Or is there some junk you got to clean out of your cup? If you'd say, yes, there's some junk I got to get rid of, okay? Stand up. Say, you know what? Jeremy, you're talking to me. I got some stuff I need help with, and the only person that can help is God. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, I lift each and every person up that's represented here tonight. Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to identify the things that we need to let go of, the excuses we need to stop saying, and the junk we need to get out of our cup. Lord, help us to identify those things and give us the strength to get them out of our lives. Lord, so we can be more like you, to be a greater light to the world around us. We give you all the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.